And we start with a musical question. When I sing Doe, a deer, a female deer, do you think of Guido d'Arezzo, the 11th century Benedictine monk who created this way of naming notes to teach people to read music? No, you do not. You think of Julie Andrews.
Doe, a deer, a female deer, Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me,
Julie Andrews, who played Maria von Trapp, the young governess who teaches her charges to sing in Rodgers and Hammerstein's cherished Sound of Music, which I and thousands of other babysitters promptly copied because who didn't want to be Julie Andrews? You probably know Julie Andrews lost that crystal-clear four-octave soprano after a botched throat operation in 1997, a sentence I can barely speak. But she still shares her speaking and writing voice in the Princess Diaries movies and books like The First Notes, The Story of Do-Re-Mi, written with her frequent collaborator, her oldest daughter, the best-selling children's and YA author Emma Walton Hamilton. We spoke with both of them last November.
Hi, Robin. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, pleasure to have you. And Julie Andrews, a thrill to speak with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful introduction, really.
All right. Well, then, goodbye. That made my day. But we do want to make sure we ask, because this song is triggering for so many of us. You know, suddenly we're pole vaulted to Edelweiss, and then you're escaping the Nazis. But I want to be respectful here. Is that painful now, though, for you? I mean,
it still is. It still is, Robin. But of course, I'm thrilled that it's remembered and it does teach children. I'm told it's very useful in countries like China, places that learn to speak English in a way because of hearing the song.
What does it mean to you in that moment?
Oh, my goodness. It was only the third film that I'd ever made, and I was still learning on my feet, so to speak. And, of course, I remember vividly the beautiful countryside in Austria where we filmed. And the music was all around us, of course, because there were giant speakers everywhere while we were filming, and the music was pouring through trees and across fields and goodness knows what else. And the music is a joy. There are songs that I love in the film, like Edelweiss.
Small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet me. Bless the snow, may you bloom and grow. Bloom and grow forever.
It's a beautiful song, and it speaks to everyone's homeland, but that's another story altogether.
Yes, it is, and maybe another book. But
oh, gosh. Thank God I have these books that I enjoy writing so much, and it is like a second life for me.
Right. So, Emma, tell us about Brother Guido, who loved music. This is the early 11th century, a time when there was no way to communicate how to read a song. You just had to sing it to someone. So how did you find out about Guido?
We first heard about Guido from my son's music teacher about 15 years ago. My son was taking guitar lessons at the time, and we were chatting with his lovely music teacher, and she said, "You may not know this, but the man who invented the solfège, the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, was actually a Benedictine monk 1,000 years ago in a monastery in Italy, and it stayed with us. We kept sort of coming back to it and thinking, I wonder if there's any further information to learn. I wonder if anyone's written about him. Would this be a possible story for a children's book? Because, of course, Mom and I have written many right. children's books together, actually over 30 now. And at a certain point, we came back to it and realized that very few people were familiar with the story, including musicians.
And including me.
Including Mom and me. And so we felt it was possibly incumbent upon us to try to do some more research and find out what the story actually was. And, of course, having the connection with Do Re Mi and Mom having sung that song so memorably certainly helped.
It seemed to be a good fit in a way.
Yes, no kidding. And in the back of the book, you have all this research that you did with scholars because, you know, some of it is unknown. It's hearsay. It's handed down. Others is hard fact. There was something called the Guidonian hand, where
yes.
Brother Guido used his hand to what? He wrote notes on each finger and joint.
Before he put it down on parchment, because there was no paper even in those days, just parchment printed. And
parchment was very expensive.
Yeah.
What he really did was realize that 1,000 years ago, can you imagine, nobody was able to read or write music because there was nothing known about it. People just passed on hymns or other things to do with the church and so on were necessary. And of course, if somebody's teaching it from memory, I don't know how many monks and people like that were terribly reliable in terms of remembering a complete tune and the way it should go.
Right.
So sometimes you get the same song sung different ways.
Well, and Guido, with this work that he did, it was first rejected by the monks that he was raised by, but he went all the way to the Vatican to work with choirs there.
Yes, he did.
He did. And the monks that he was living with at the time when he first shared his ideas and his theories, because he not only invented do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, but he also invented the musical staff and the idea of musical notation, in his days, he created them as little squares on lines. Today, of course, we know them as ovals, musical notes on the staff. And when he shared his ideas with his fellow brothers at the Abbey, they told him that he should spend less time thinking and being creative and more time praying and being studious and serious.
And, not so very encouraging, I would say.
Well, and I love, again, this is called solfege. This is the idea of how to, you know, read music. And I love that he took those syllables from the first syllables, if you go down the lines of a hymn at the time, and originally it would have been ut, re, mi, fa, sol. Ut just isn't the same as do.
No, it isn't.
I'm glad I didn't have to sing that one.
Ut. I don't know what it would be. Ut or what?
Yeah, or I don't know what it would even rhyme with. But it was eventually changed to do, and the last syllable, T, was added. So it used to be ut, re, mi, fa, so, la, and then, of course, it became do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti.
Well, you make a marvelous team doing these books. And by the way, Julie Andrews, we also highly recommend your memoirs. You were the daughter of vaudevillians, a little girl in World War II. I think you were six when you were assigned to sit out with opera glasses and a whistle to signal to your mother and other mothers when an incoming plane was German or Allied because you could tell the difference. And I'm wondering if your perfect pitch had something to do with that.
I think more the sound, because what I was sent out to watch out for were what we used to call doodle bugs, which were the pilotless bombs that would come over the channel, the English Channel, and just cut out and then drop on the population. It's a very different sound from a real aeroplane. And so if I heard that really droning sound coming over, I would blow my whistle, which my mother gave me. And I was out in all weathers, needless to say, because as you know, England badly needs a roof. So it was wet and cold and God knows what.
Well, so there's that. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, you're six. And also your stepdad was abusive. There was that. You're on Broadway at 19, you know, and you come across sopranos, as you know, they're sort of the voice of innocence. I'm thinking of Adriana Caselotti, who's the first Snow White. And here, we don't even know about the World War II backstory, but you escape the Nazis in Sound of Music. Dick Van Dyke likes you, and he's, of course, you know, the male form of goodness. You have come to represent all that is good. Your voice represented all that was innocent and hopeful.
Oh, that's kind of you.
It must be lovely, but is there a part of you also that's saying, well, there's a side of me you don't know, or, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think Emma you could speak to that, Emma. I'm very good at certain four-letter words when I'm pressed and so on.
It's true, Robin. She swears like a truck driver.
Not quite like a truck driver, I hope.
No, but no, anyway. Not quite that bad.
Well, good to hear, actually. back to this wonderful book. A great book, I'm thinking, for parents to read and sing to their children. Emma, did your mom sing to you, or would that have been mom bringing work home?
That was a little bit of mom bringing work home. But when we sang together as a family. And quite often it was sort of, you know, around campfires when we were having picnics and things like that. And
it wasn't so much. You Are My Sunshine was one of ours.
Yeah, or often sort of English vaudeville songs and old English campfire songs, those kinds of things. Much more that than show tunes.
Well, now people can sing it to their children, which I just love.
Well, hopefully it will give them an idea as to how it all began, and it will be passed on, and soon, hopefully, a lot of people will know about Guido and his invention, and thank God for it.
Yeah. By the way, Emma, as you collaborate 30 books, That can be tough. Who has the last word?
Oh, the best idea wins.
Best idea wins.
Oh.
There you are.
Legendary actor Julie Andrews, her award-winning daughter Emma Walton Hamilton, co-authors of The First Notes, the story of Do, Re, Mi. You can start your kids at the very beginning.
It sounds a little corny, but it really isn't. You might as well.
Yeah. Thank you both.
Thank you, Robin,
so much. God bless.
I loved you once in silence and misery.
And you can see some of the beautiful illustrations from the book by Chiara Fedele at hereandnow.org. And we leave you with one of our favorite Julie Andrews performances. So many to choose from, but here's I Loved You Once in Silence from Camelot.
Yes, loved me in lonesome silence.